Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of the Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to the Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into the Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in the Daily Book Club.
Amateur Traveler, episode 745. Today, the Amateur Traveler talks about cloud forests and chocolate, surfing and slot canyons, volcanoes and filibusters, as we go to Nicaragua. Welcome to the Amateur Traveler. I'm your host, Chris Christensen. Let's talk about Nicaragua. I'd like to welcome the show Mike Cobb, who's come to us from ECI Development, a resort builder, and come to talk to us about Nicaragua. Mike, first, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Chris. Good to be with you tonight. Yeah.
And what is your relationship to Nicaragua?
My family, we moved there in 2002, my wife and my two-year-old daughter, and we built a resort property on the Pacific coast, and we went for what we thought would just be 2 or 3 years to get the project started, hire architects, engineers, builders, accounting people. And by about 3 years into it, we'd hired all those people and we had a chief operating officer in place. And my wife and I went out to dinner one night, great restaurant, Casa de los Nogueros is the name of it. And wonderful restaurant. We sat there, we made a list. We took a piece of paper, drew a line down the middle, stay in Nicaragua, go back to the U.S. And at the end of the evening, it was a very easy decision. We decided to stay a while longer, and a while was 11 more years. And so we ended up in Nicaragua for 14 years, which were just 14 very, very enjoyable, delightful years.
Well, and I'm going to guess that you spent 14 of those years with people saying Nicaragua is the new destination, because I think people say that every year. Why should someone go to Nicaragua?
There are a lot of answers to that question, but to sum it up in just a few little bullet points, right? Nicaragua is really raw. That's the word I use for it. It's raw. It's modern in the ways that we care about. It's got great internet. The roads are really good. You can get kind of the kinds of things that you need if you live there or you're an extended tourist, right? But you will also see people on a horse-drawn carriage going down the road, or an ox cart, or cattle coming across the road, or real cowboys driving cattle through the fields and across the roads. And so you've got this real mix of new and old, but it's raw. You don't see a lot of brand name businesses. I mean, yeah, there are McDonald's, a few McDonald's is around and things like that. But generally, it's mom and pops, it's little stores by the side of the road. And it is the kind of place that, for me, when I'm there, I just feel alive. I feel the energy, I feel the warmth of the people, and I know that there's just this springing of opportunity. You can see opportunity growing right before your eyes. It's exciting and it's exuberant. So for me, the rawness is refreshing, unlike the suburbs or many of the places that we travel. I travel quite a bit. I've traveled a lot, as a matter of fact, for pleasure and for business. But Nicaragua really has captured my heart in a way that almost no other location has. Before we got on, I was talking about traveling the Silk Road to the western parts of China and being in Namibia. Those two places share a lot of the same commonality for me. I was in Cambodia last year. Again, finding places that are up and coming, not really super touristy yet, but comfortable places to travel. And Nicaragua is also a very comfortable place to travel. It's kind of a weird juxtaposition of raw and refreshing and exuberant, but also comfortable. That's not a combination you find very often, but I find that to be the case. And I find that when we've invited people to come visit us down there, they also have that similar kind of feeling.
Excellent. And what kind of itinerary would you recommend for someone going down to Nicaragua?
It depends on how long somebody has. I think a 10-day itinerary is probably perfect to really get a flavor for most of the country. Mm-hmm. On the Caribbean side, there's not a whole lot going on. It's a lot of indigenous communities. There's not a lot of what I would call formal tourism. But you've got the Corn Islands. You've got Big Corn and Little Corn. So if you're looking for a very Key West 100 years ago experience, and that's kind of what you're talking about, Little Corn Island. There's a beautiful place in my family. We would go there a couple times a year, Little Beach and Bungalow. Scott and Christine, they're the proprietors. It's a phenomenal restaurant. By the way, you get to this island, you fly to Big Corn Island from Managua, say, or sometimes they stop along the way on the milk run. But anyway, Managua, you get on your plane, you fly to Big Corn. Then you get on this little panga, and you go across open ocean for about—
And a panga is a small rowboat-like thing with an outboard motor in the back.
Yeah, outboard motor in the back, and it seats about 25, five rows of five across, shoulder mm-hmm. to shoulder, real tight. It probably comfortably fits about 16, but they'll throw 25 in it. Anyway, yeah, out across the open ocean in this little boat for 35, 40 minutes, you get to Little Corn, and there are no automobiles of any type. And so they meet you at the dock with wheelbarrows, and they wheel your luggage in a wheelbarrow to wherever hotel you're staying. We always stay almost directly across the island. And so they wheel you through the jungle. You get to the other side and there's thatched huts. And so if you have time, like if you're on a 10-day to 14-day itinerary, then put Little Corn Island on that itinerary for a couple, 3 days to really get that experience of, again, Key West 100 years ago. It is truly amazing. Most people don't put that on their itinerary because they're just not coming for long enough. But typically mm-hmm. on a 7 to 10 day itinerary, obviously you're going to fly into Managua. It's the mm-hmm. only international airport. So fly into Managua. And from there, I think the easiest way to kind of get adjusted into the country is to stay in Managua your first night. And then on the next day, head towards Granada. Granada is a 500-year-old Spanish colonial city. It is truly an architectural marvel. Again, it's very close to Managua. It's about 40, 45-minute drive. We lived in Managua when we lived in Nicaragua. We would go to Granada once or twice a month just for lunch on Sunday, walk around the square. One of the foods that they serve, different parts of the country have different foods. The food in Granada is something called bigarón. And bigarón is coleslaw, like a vinegar kind of coleslaw with chicharrones, which is fried pork skin on top, and mm-hmm. yuca. And they just serve it to you in a little basket, and then, you just eat that in the square. It's probably not that good for you, but it's pretty good. But we would go, we'd eat at a restaurant called El Zaguán. That was one of our favorites. The meats, the steaks, specifically the steak that is a Nicaraguan specialty is churrasco. It's a beautiful flank steak that's just prepared so well, so tender. The whole fish in Granada is another big specialty, the snapper or the bass coming out of the lake itself. But great restaurants in Granada. The architecture is truly phenomenal. Most of the buildings are 300-400 years old. There are a few 500-year-old structures. But again, just beautiful old colonial. Chris, it's a chocolate museum, and you actually get to go. This is great. You get to go and actually make chocolate. And you grind the beans. You roast the beans. You shell them. You roast them. You grind them. And then you actually take those beans and you make chocolate. You make chocolate bars. You take different kinds of chocolate drinks that you make with it. It's a lot of fun. Kids love it. But I'll tell you, as a big kid, I loved it too. And for folks who enjoy rum and cigars, I mean, you can go roll your own cigars in Granada. So there's some neat things to do there.
And I'm going to jump in here in a little bit, do a little geography here, because first of all, we haven't told people, but it's in Central America for those who the listeners of this show probably know that already, but let's put that on the map there. And then you talked about going from Managua to Granada, which is 20 miles. You can go for lunch easily.
Definitely. And okay. with traffic, 35, 40 minutes, but it's very,
and
very close.
You mentioned it was on the lake.
Yeah, it is on Lake Nicaragua, mm-hmm. which is the largest freshwater lake in Central America and purported to have sharks, freshwater sharks.
Really?
Yeah, but they haven't seen one in a while, so I hope they're still there. But yes, at one point it had freshwater sharks, which is kind of interesting. On the way to Granada, a really cool thing to do, Chris, is to stop at the Masaya Volcano. It's an active volcano. Nick Walenda just walked across it last year on a tightrope, which is pretty cool. And and depending on how the lava is in the bottom, if the lava's up, you can actually see the lava lake. You can actually watch the lava bubbling at the bottom, which is unbelievable. A lot of times it's a little bit lower. You can see the glow, but you can't actually see the lava. But it's smoking, and the museum there is well worth the stop. I know a lot of times people just go up and look down in the hole and smell the smoke, but the museum there is excellent, and I highly recommend people stop and do that too. So,
well, and you mentioned volcanoes. That is one of the notable characteristics of Nicaragua. In fact, the lake that you were talking about at one point was proposed as a route for what is now the Panama Canal. In fact, some people think it would have been the easier route, would have been to dig basically from this lake in both directions.
Correct.
And the way that it was defeated in terms of the U.S. investment in that was someone brought them a postage stamp of Nicaragua that showed a smoking volcano. Do you really want to build your canal here next to volcanoes?
Yeah, but you're right. And that's why it went to Panama. You know your history. Yeah. And there are a lot of volcanoes. I guess maybe 8 or 10 are active, a bunch are dormant. Mm-hmm. One of the things that's up there, the other big colonial city, León, I'm going to jump around a little bit if that's okay, but staying on the theme of volcanoes, is the Cerro Negro cinder cone. It's the youngest volcano in the Americas. It's a cinder cone. It's a fairly active volcano, but it just throws out a bunch of sand and cinders once in a while. The thing to do there is you hike up with a little sled. Let me just call it a sled, right? You hike up with your sled, and it's pretty good hike.
It's
an hour and a half, 2 hour hike, right? And when you get to the top, you slide down the volcano on a sled on the cinder cones. And it is so much fun. It is a great thing to do. There's usually a guy at the bottom, depending on who you go with, but there's usually a guy at the bottom with a radar gun, and they measure your speed and they tell you the fastest speed of the week and all that kind of stuff. So very, very fun thing to do. Cerro Negro is a great volcano activity.
I'm trying to translate that from Spanish, and I ended up with Black Hill, which is not that imaginative, but okay.
That's really what, I mean, it really is. It's incredible. You look at the rest of the volcanoes, there's a lot of vegetation on them.
Sure.
This one is just simply a black hill, exactly. And by the way, just the fastest at one point, I think it still is, the fastest bike riding ever was a guy who rode his bike down that and reached, I don't know, like 120 miles an hour or something on a bicycle. Geez. It was a French guy, I think, but yeah.
Well, now I'm going to take you back to Granada.
Sure, yeah.
So what else are you going to recommend that we do? You said a couple days in Granada.
Yeah, a couple days in Granada, ride on the lake. But right next to Granada, there's an extinct volcano called Mombacho, which has a tremendous cloud forest at the top. There's coffee plantations going up a ways, and then it's a national park above that. Phenomenal cloud forest. They take you up in these big old trucks. You can drive up there, but it's hard. You just take the truck up from the park and hike the crater rim in the cloud forest. Hundreds of species of orchids, bromeliads, all kinds of plants that are just very exotic. And then the views when you get out onto some of the points back out over the lake, you can see 120 miles to the other end of the lake and a couple more volcanoes down in it. And it really is a great half day trip. There's a zip lining. If you want to make it a full day, you can. There's a shorter hike, which is maybe, I don't know, an hour and a half, 2 hours. And then the longer hike, which is about a 5-6 hour hike around the bigger crater. So there's two craters and you can walk either or both. But that is well worth doing again, because it's something very unique. Cloud forest is very special. It's not like jungle. It's very, very different.
Mm-hmm. Well, and one thing you reminded me of that I forgot to ask when you said we were going over to Granada, are you recommending we rent a car to get around, or are you going to recommend other options?
Look, I think probably the folks that listen to your podcast are pretty good travelers, adventuring travelers. So renting a car is something that's probably pretty comfortable for most people. Hertz is there, Avis, National, all the many of the big brands, Budget. So yes, renting a car is easy. The traffic laws are generally the same as the U.S., a few little idiosyncrasies, but not many. So yes, renting a car and driving yourself is actually very easy to do in Nicaragua. So for your group especially, I would say rent a car, drive, be on your own. Okay. You'll give yourself flexibility and it will be fairly easy to do.
And what's the level of idiosyncrasies that we're talking about?
The big one, and this is where the cops always stand, I mean, they like to pull people over and give them a ticket, if you go through a rotunda or a roundabout or a traffic circle, sorry, mm-hmm. I call them rotundas living there, but anyway, come around a traffic circle, you must stay in the lane that you were in the traffic circle for 100 meters. So a lot of times okay. people come out of the traffic circle and change lanes, and they're always watching for it because that's where they get you. So that's about the only, okay. truly the only gotcha. The rest of it's all pretty common sense. Just drive safely.
Excellent. Anything else we should do in Granada?
I don't know. I think we covered it. I mean, you get there, you might find some other things you want to do, but it's a beautiful walk. Park your car, walk it. There's not much you would have to do any kind of driving in Granada. Just park and walk, and everything's close. And
well, you mentioned that it's a colonial city, quite a history here. Not the original capital, but it's had people here for a long time. Colonial center of town, I assume, cathedral, the usual suspects.
Yep, the Alcaldía, a couple hotels, a couple great restaurants. Actually, there are no great restaurants on the actual big square, but that's where you get the bigarón. That there's lots of people in the square selling the bigarón and other wares and things like that. But yeah, it is a very, very traditional colonial city in that sense, right? Okay. Cathedral, Alcaldía, but then many other smaller squares. And then they created a beautiful walking street, a pedestrian street that intersects the square with, I'm going to say, 20 restaurants along it. So every kind of food you might want, obviously all the traditional Nicaraguan fare, but some very interesting. One of our favorite restaurants was the Third Eye. It was this Nicaraguan Asian fusion place.
Okay.
Yeah, right? When you live there for a while, you're like, all right, we want something a little different. So
sure, I get that. Excellent. Well, where to next?
Again, if you have a car, I'd jump in the car and I'd go to Selva Negra. It's up in the coffee growing area of the country in the mountainous north. Matagalpa is the closest city. You drive through Matagalpa on your way. And once you get through Matagalpa, you go up this pretty big mountain. And when you get to the top of the mountain, you'll see a tank on the right side of the road, an old tank back from the Civil War in the 1970s and early 1980s. You take a right at the tank and you drive about a mile on this. This is great stuff, right?
I think that's about the first time that somebody has said in 15 and a half years, take a right at the tank. So
take a right at the tank. That's right. And you go back their driveway, which winds through the coffee plantation for about a mile, mile and a half. And you get to Selva Negra, which is Black Forest. Mm-hmm. It's owned by some dear friends of ours, Eddie and Mousy Cool. They're German heritage. They've turned this into a little German resort in the mountains, but it is incredible. Organic coffee. They sell their coffee to Whole Foods and some other organic outlets. They run their farm. It's an entire farm. It's not technically off the grid because they do run electricity for the cabins and the places they rent. But if it weren't for the tourist aspects of that resort or that farm, they would be 100% off the grid. They generate hydro, wind, solar. All of their meats and cheeses are organic. In fact, we used to get a bag of organic fruits and vegetables delivered to our home in Managua every Tuesday. I mean, think about this. A giant coffee sack of organic fruits and vegetables delivered to our home 100 miles away. Now, they deliver it to a bunch of people, but $8. I mean, if you go down to Whole Paycheck, I mean, Whole Food, right? And you buy a tomato, it's $8, right? I mean, a whole bag. So yeah, this place is delightful. So you're right up against the top of this beautiful, again, cloud forest, howler monkeys. You'll hear them all night, all day. Take the coffee tour, see how they recycle and reuse everything. They are, and again, it's all organic. So you take the coffee tour, you come back and do the cupping experience and taste the coffees. You can go watch them make cheese and hike the trails. I mean, the trails that run along through their property are spectacular. But the thing I would recommend there beyond anything, well, the organic coffee tour is great and the farm tour is wonderful. But the thing that they do is a night tour in the cloud forest. That is spectacular. I mean, I've seen a couple snakes. I've seen a wild boar. I've seen a few animals. The howler monkeys, see them all the time. But the night tour was a whole different set of animals. We saw, I mean, I hate to say, but we saw a ton of snakes. I mean, people are like, snakes, but we saw a ton of snakes.
I'm in that camp. Yeah, I get that. Me and Indiana Jones.
Yeah, a ton of frogs, all kinds of frogs, different colors, different color eyes, blue eyes, red eyes. It just on and on. And then the bug life at night is spectacular. So The night tour is special, and I highly recommend it. If you like riding horses, they've got some great horseback trails. You can either ride alone if you're a good horseman, or they have guided tours if you're not. So wonderful place to spend a couple of nights. Great German food of all things, but great Nicaraguan fare too. But the German food is a specialty of theirs. And so I would say that's a great way to spend a night or two at Selva Negra. And then from there, head to León, which is the other colonial city. It was the center of religion and education. A lot of the universities were there and are there for the last 400 or 500 years. On the way, it's not worth a very long stop, but a short stop at what I would call the tiny Yellowstone. They got these boiling mud pots, and it's right along the way. It's literally...
ButcherBox is sponsoring this episode of Amateur Traveler, and I just got my first ButcherBox. I've got packed with dry ice came 4 packets of ground beef, 3 packets of chicken breasts, 2 steaks, some pork ribs, and some sirloin tips. Now, I've got a great recipe for what to do with the chicken. At least one of those packets of chicken is going to become Greek chicken and rice. And if you go to chris2x.com, I've got a recipe there that's an Instant Pot recipe. But I'm not good with steak, and so I'm going to take advantage of the fact that ButcherBox has recipes on their site at butcherbox.com to learn some great recipes to do with those steaks. You can have ButcherBox deliver meat to your doorstep. Free shipping as always, curated to custom box plans. You can easily find high-quality meat and seafood you can trust. 100% grass beef, free-range organic chicken, pork-raised crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. Humanely raised, no antibiotics or added hormones. I also like the fact that I could recycle all the box and shipping material that they sent. Sign up at butcherbox.com/traveler and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional 20% off. Choose salmon, chicken, breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/traveler. If you got recipes for ribs or steaks, send them my way as I send my thanks to ButcherBox.com for sponsoring this episode of Amateur Traveler.
150 yards off the road between Selva Negra and León, stop, see the mud pots. They're cool. And then head to León.
What is the name of that?
The Bubbling Mud Pots. I'm embarrassed. I don't know.
I will look it up. We'll have a link in the show notes.
But you can't miss them. I mean, literally, you'll come off the mountain, you'll be going across this big valley, and then you'll come to this line of volcanoes, and you go right between two of them. And literally, when you're right in between the two volcanoes, the mud pots will be on your right. And they're advertised. Like I said, you can't miss them. But the thing about León, which is very, very surprising, is they've got some great art museums, the Gurdian Ortiz Art Museum. They have 2. Apparently, I didn't know this. I talked to a friend of mine last week, and she told me they're opening a 3rd art museum, same family. Mm-hmm. When you go to an art museum in Europe, for example, mm-hmm. right, and you're looking at maybe paintings of, like they take an old shutter, for example, right, and they paint the old Christian paintings from the 1300s and 1400s where people are kind of 2D. Sure. Before they figured out how to do 3D people, right?
Alter triptych sort
Thank
of thing.
You. Yep. Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. And so like in Europe, you're back behind a little velvet rope 4 feet away and it's pretty and you can look at it. At the Gurdian, there's no velvet rope. Like you can literally get, you could touch them if you wanted to, but don't, right? But literally you can get right up and look at the detail of these paintings. And not just those, but all of them. And they've got classics. I mean, and again, these are families that have been in Nicaragua for 300-400 years. And so they brought paintings with them. They've collected the paintings over the years. So that European heritage, mm-hmm. bringing it to Nicaragua. The art museum is world class. And the crazy thing is, it's empty. I mean, maybe there's 6-10 people in this whole museum when you go there. Probably a little busier on the weekend, but generally on a weekday, 6-10 people in this whole museum, you have it to yourself, and it is world-class art. So Gurdian Ortiz Museum is definitely something to do while you're in León. See the cathedrals, take the city tour. A lot of interesting things have gone on in León, but that museum is the one, to me, gem in León. So Then I would say the next day you get up and you go do Cerro Negro, you hike up to the top, take your sled and sled down. I think that's a fun experience. Mm-hmm. And you can go as fast or as slow as you want. If you put your feet out, you can kind of go real slow. By the way, one of my daughters wasn't old enough to do it, so she had to run down the mountain. I mean, that's fun too, run and jump, like sand dunes kind of thing. But you don't have to sled down, but many people choose to, because if you try to go fast, you can, and it's pretty exhilarating, actually.
Okay.
And then a little self-plug, I would go to the beach, and I personally like Grand Pacifica, which is our community, but there are lots of beaches up and down the coast of Nicaragua and the Pacific Ocean. Again, I'm partial to ours, but you're going to find the same thing at many most. You're going to find beautiful Pacific water. You're going to find warm water. I mean, you're up in San Jose. I mean, my goodness, I think you have to swim in a dry suit if you get in the Pacific Ocean.
Wetsuit, but yeah.
Wetsuit, okay.
With a hood in the wintertime.
All right. The Pacific Ocean along the coast of Nicaragua is in the high 70s, low 80s. It is warm Pacific Ocean water. Mm-hmm. And for people who love to surf, it really has become a surfing mecca. People are coming. They're still coming. They don't care about COVID. They don't care about politics. They don't care about anything. They're coming to surf because the waves are phenomenal and they're empty, kind of like that museum. Very, very few people coming. And Nicaragua suffers from that perception problem, right?
Sure.
Many of us remember the whole Ollie North.
The last time we remember anybody talking about it, there was a civil war there, and we don't know that things changed since. That perception problem?
Yeah, 40 years, right? Exactly, right? But
has it been that long? Wow.
Well, yeah, since 1980 when it was right. Really a hot civil war.
Well, it was Reagan, so yeah.
Yeah, Reagan and Ollie North and the whole right. crowd. Yeah. Anyway, fun times back then. I'm not, but the country has changed incredibly.
Right.
And so now what you end up with is this kind of hangover of perception. But for people who want to go someplace, again, undiscovered in many ways, raw in a lot of ways, or empty, if you're looking for fewer tourists, Nicaragua is just phenomenal for surfers. That would be the case.
And you mentioned surfers. If we had somebody who was a surfer and they were looking for the perfect Nicaragua beach surf town, what is that?
That probably is San Juan del Sur in the very far south of the country. I would call that the stereotypical surf town. A lot of younger folks and a lot of very inexpensive hotels and some great waves, all real close. You can go either direction out of San Juan del Sur and catch some great waves. So I think that's probably the surf town.
And is that kind of the backpacker destination then also because it's the surf destination, or would that be different? Yeah. I asked that differently.
That would be the backpacker destination. Okay. Yep, exactly. We've got two great waves. In fact, one of our waves is called the Meat Grinder, and it's one of the 10 best waves in Central America. And we've got a beach break that's a lot gentler as well. I mean, it's been on the cover of Surf Journal. Kelly Slater's come down and videoed there. It's a phenomenal surf break, but it's professional. It's a tough one. The beach break at Azuchillo, which is along our beach as well, much more forgiving, a great place to learn surfing. And in fact, a lot of people who come to Nicaragua come specifically to learn how to surf. Mm-hmm. Again, if you're trying to learn how to surf in California or other places, you're really competing with a lot of people who want the same wave, and they're not always forgiving of the neophyte, right? Wasting a good wave. In Nicaragua, empty waves mean you and your instructor can waste a lot of waves while you learn how to surf. And we see a lot of people coming down to learn how to surf, and we have great surf instructors at Grand Pacifica. But the other thing that I would say is unique, not just to us, but fairly unique, we're one of the few resorts that actually have an active turtle management program. And what that really entails from about September till about now, end of January, really, September through January, the sea turtles come in, they lay their eggs on the beach, and sadly, we have to compete with the locals who are looking for those same eggs to basically take them and sell them for money. I get it. I mean, they're poor and it's a source of money. So we have our people out on the beach. We see a turtle laying eggs. We guard the turtle laying the eggs. And as soon as mama's back in the water, we dig them up. We move them we basically created our own turtle sanctuary. So we move the eggs to our sanctuary just off the beach because the beach is private. 50 more feet off the high tide mark, you're now in private land. So we put them in our sanctuary and basically raise them. They hatch. And then when they hatch, we then take them down to the beach and we release them. Well, our guests love this, whether it's hunting for mama turtle laying eggs and collecting them, or the baby turtles getting born and turning them loose back into the ocean. I mean, these are incredibly wonderful events. And actually, as you start to get up into November, December, January, you actually get both. So you can actually come down and stay for a couple of days and at night be out looking for the mamas and finding the eggs. And the next night there might be a batch hatching that you can release into the ocean. A tremendous, tremendous experience, again, for kids of all ages, right? All the way up to the adults. I think the adults might enjoy it maybe more than the kids do. It's so rewarding and so wonderful to be able to do that.
Excellent. Do we have more that we want to get to on the itinerary too, or are we starting to wrap up?
I think we're wrapping up. I think we've covered a great 7 to 10 day itinerary, and I just hope folks will check it out and come to Nicaragua and see what it's all about. I'm a huge fan. I love the country.
What do other people recommend that you're skipping in that length itinerary?
Let's see. I mean, San Juan del Sur would be certainly one place that a lot of people choose to go.
Sure. Yeah.
And I think that would be one. There's a set of islands in the very southern part of Lake Nicaragua called Solitaname. The Solitaname Islands actually are very, very unique. I don't know if you know what nativist painting is. It was in the former Yugoslavia they did it, and in Solitaname Islands they did it. I mean, it's really naive painting. It's a very different type of thing, and how weird it was, these two places. But they're famous for that, and it's, again, very low key. It's one step above camping, lodges, that kind of thing. But it would be a place that I think if you had either a longer itinerary or you were passionate about the arts, that would be a place. Okay. Another place with a different kind of art, but again, very famous, world famous, is the ceramics that are done in San Juan del Oriente, which is near Granada, in between Masaya and Granada. But these are some incredible artists who make the ceramics that are just world class. I mean, they sell them in the Smithsonian stores and other very, very high-end boutiques and galleries around the world. So that would be something if somebody's an artist and they want to see that. Those are two very, very special places that I would put on the recommendation. By the way, if people love rum, another thing that's north of León in another town called Chinandega, or another city called Chinandega, is the Flor de Caña Museum. And it's the rum. Flor de Caña is the world famous rum coming out of Nicaragua. They have a great museum tasting tour. That would be something that I think would be very interesting to people who really enjoy rum. It's a great tour, and we've had a lot of folks really enjoy that.
I'm going to throw out, we have a little extra time here, so throw out a couple different people, and where would you send them? So we have somebody who is a nature buff, and they've got a little more time. Where else would you add to their itinerary?
I think I would spend a little more time at Selva Negra in the mountains there. Again, the cloud forest is spectacular. Somoto Canyon is another place that my family and I spent a lot of time. It's on the Rio Coco. It's in the headwaters of the Rio Coco in the very, very, very northern, northwest part of Nicaragua. It's a canyon that is, I mean, it's incredible. It's not that long. It might be a mile long, a mile and a half,
looks
maybe a mile
like
and a
half. Like a slot canyon to me.
Yeah, like a slot. Yeah, exactly. Like a slot canyon. Mm-hmm. It's phenomenal. I mean, the walls are straight up 300, 400 feet or whatever, and you hike up it. Right. You inner tube and you hike up it, and then you inner tube back down. But there's some great places along the edge where you've got 20, 30 foot drops right into very deep water, and you can climb up and you jump off, and it's a lot of fun. So Somoto Canyon would be definitely a place. The one culinary treat in Somoto are the rosquillas, which is a little cookie cracker kind of thing, very specialized, very localized in Somoto. They make them other places, but that's the place to get them. So rosquillas in Somoto for your culinary. But there are a lot of places that are great for people who love the outdoors, and many of them are in the north, in the mountains. The Bossawas would be one area, and this would have to be probably privately arranged with a guide, but the Bossawas is the second largest biosphere outside of the Amazon in the Americas, tropical biosphere.
And a UNESCO biosphere as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, you can tour it. The best way to tour it is by boat. My family and I did a week on the Rio Coco and the Rio Bocai touring some of the Bossawas at one point. It was actually a medical fact-finding mission with the United Nations, and it was tremendous. But anyway, being in the Bassawas is very, very special. That's more jungle. That's lowland. So it's not cloud forest. It's truly tropical jungle rainforest. Okay. And so a very different kind of geography.
Bring your bug spray.
Yes. The other geography that's unique is along the Pacific coast. Mm-hmm. It's the semi-arid, dry tropical forest. It's a very, very unique. These are very specialized plants. It rains a lot. I mean, a lot in about 4 to 6 months. And then it's bone dry for 4 to 6 months. And so you've got these deluges of just tremendous amounts of rain for 6 months. Rainforest kind of rain, 4 to 6 months. And then you've got 6 to 8 months of desert. And so the plant species and the animal species there have adapted to that very unique geography. So again, it's for somebody who loves nature, it's unique and it's different in a way that many places aren't.
Okay. Someone who loves history, where would you send them?
León and Granada, for sure. Mm-hmm. Those two cities have so much history, whether it's the William Walker expedition. William Walker was a...
I don't know that a lot of Americans know about the William Walker expedition.
Yeah, he was a slave owner who decided he was going to go to Nicaragua and take over and become president and turn it into the, I don't know what number state, 30th state or something like that, as a slave state back when the Confederacy was trying to get enough slave states to keep slavery. Anyway, so he came to Nicaragua and took over, became president of Nicaragua in Granada. Burned much of the city, sadly. So a lot of the buildings were burned by William Walker.
Not our finest hour as a representative of the United States, yeah.
No. But they did track him down and shot him. So justice was served at some point.
And oddly enough, what they called it was filibustering. So, you know, next time you hear them talk about filibustering in the Senate, be glad that no one dies. So
I forgot that. That's right, filibustering. But the other thing, Mark Twain came across with Vanderbilt. This would be a fun history trip for a real historian, would be to go to Greytown, which is where the Rio San Juan, which is the exit of the Lake Nicaragua's water exit, is the Rio San Juan. It runs to the Caribbean. At the end of it is Greytown, which is really nothing anymore. It was the major port because Vanderbilt and others, but mostly Vanderbilt, would bring his steamships down. It was mail delivery. He got big contracts with the U.S. government to deliver mail to California. So he'd bring his ships down to Greytown.
And we're pre-Panama Canal. Yeah.
That's right. Pre-Panama Canal in the 1860s, 70s. Yeah. 1880s, yeah. Mark Twain came on one of his boats, and eventually Vanderbilt himself, nobody would take one of his steamships up the Rio San Juan. So finally Vanderbilt came down. He was fed up with his pilots, and he said, get out of the way. He jumped in, and he actually piloted his boat up the Rio San Juan into Lake Nicaragua. But then they would get to the other side of the lake, and it was about a 15-mile horse carriage ride over to the Pacific Ocean in San Juan del Sur. But Greytown would be a phenomenal place for a historian. Again, I think there's a tremendous amount of history there that's yet to be uncovered, right? So for an exploratory historian, I think it would be a gold mine. Yeah.
Excellent. Last prototype here, the foodie.
The foodie. Okay.
I know some of my listeners, some of them went, okay, finally he's talking about me. So.
All right. Yeah. We're foodies. My wife and I, we definitely ate well in Nicaragua. We loved the variety of cuisine. But I mentioned the bigarón in Granada, not a great culinary thing, but very, very traditional. The rosquillas in Somoto. There's a restaurant in Managua that serves up truly some of the best Nicaraguan food from all over. Doña Haide, H-A-Y-D-E, Doña Haide. And when you're in Managua that first night, that's where I would definitely have dinner. And you can sample tons of things. Indio Viejo, Caballo Bayo is sort of make your own burritos kind of thing, but not really. But anyway, you get tortillas and you just mix and match. And right, quesillos. Quesillos are a soft cheese in a tortilla with spicy onions and cream. I mean, it's an artery clogging, but so good. And you pick those up along the road at a road stand in between León and Managua or León and Grand Pacifica, right along the roadside. I mean, quesillos, and they're just homemade soft cheeses wrapped in a tortilla. They're hot. I mean, they're delicious. My favorite, you got me going here on food. My favorite food in Nicaragua is the nacatamale. or nacatamal. And it's like a tamale from Mexico, mm-hmm. but bigger. It's a breakfast food, okay. only on the weekends, Saturday and Sunday. And it's rice and cornmeal and flour. So they put that on a banana leaf or a plantain leaf.
Right.
And then on the inside, they put a piece of pork. You can get a vegetarian or chicken too, but usually a very fatty piece of pork, a tomato, a plum, a celery leaf, one outrageously hot pepper, a little pepper about the size of a BB. They wrap it up and then they boil it for a day. Right.
Oh my gosh.
Oh yeah. I mean, the flavors are melding. Then you open it up, you eat it. This is crazy. You eat it with a slice of white bread, like Bimbo white bread or Wonder Bread, which is nutso, but that's what you eat it with. And you get along great. You're eating. And then all of a sudden you get that one bite. Yeah. So with Nacatamal, that would be a great foodie experience. And there are a lot of very fine restaurants as well. And one of them, believe it or not, Sushi Ito, is a local sushi place. And they've really done an incredible job of putting a fusion twist on Nicaraguan cuisine with the sushi, as with the rolls, right? You might not think, I'm not going to eat sushi while I'm in Nicaragua. Well, okay, don't eat sushi, but try Sushi Ito and try some of the what I'm going to call fusion products that they've come up with that are really incredible. They're so, again, stuff you might not think, but great eats.
Excellent. Well, as we go to wind this up, you're standing in the prettiest spot in Nicaragua. Where are you standing and what are you looking at?
I'm standing at the beach watching the baby turtles scramble off into the ocean with the sun setting in the distance. That is special in a way that's barely describable.
And one thing that makes you laugh and say, only in Nicaragua.
The parking attendants who have never driven a car.
What?
Yeah, only in Nicaragua.
Excellent. And if you had to summarize Nicaragua in just three words, which you do, what three words would you use?
Warm, friendly, amazing.
Excellent. Our guest again has been Mike Cobb. Mike, thanks so much for coming on Amateur Traveler and sharing with us your love, your obvious love for Nicaragua.
Chris, thanks for having me. It's been a lot of fun.
In news of the community, first, thanks go out to the patrons of the show who help support the show. They get an ad-free version, usually a few days early, a monthly meetup, and depending on how much they pledge per month, some tchotchkes. And you can be a patron of the show by going to patreon.com/amateurtraveler. I heard recently from Justin, who left a comment on the show we did on Slovakia. Finally got to listen to this and brought back fond memories. I visited during the Christmas season and Bratislava's Christmas markets were some of my favorites. There are two items I wanted to share in addition to what was discussed. One is St. Martin's Cathedral, where numerous Hungarian kings were crowned during the time the Hungarian Empire used Bratislava as its capital. It is on the edge of Old Town at the base of the hill leading up to Bratislava Castle, right next to the SNP Bridge's north end. Another recommendation is Konditorei Kormuth, a dessert shop and bakery with an amazing, ornate, and artsy interior. It's in Old Town and definitely worth a stop as you explore the area. Jeff Ulfs commented on the show we did on Massachusetts, and you know that his comments were going to be about national parks. Nice episode, brought back memories. Yes, too much to see in this state, but did want to mention one missed National Park Service area, Blackstone River National Historic Park. And besides Appalachian Trail, there's also a New England National Scenic Trail. I had to look up the Blackstone River Valley National Historic Park, but that is yet another park that is preserving some of the early Industrial Revolution portions of American history. So another one I'm sure that I would enjoy. And with that, we're going to end this episode of Amateur Traveler. If you have any questions, send an email to host@amateurtraveler.com, or better yet, leave a comment on this episode at amateurtraveler.com. And thanks so much for listening.